Grace you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So teach us, Lord, to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. On April 15, 1912, Captain E.J. Smith led the passengers of his large ocean liner in a Sunday morning devotion. That small worship service included the song, Our God, Our Help in Ages Past, which includes these words. Time like an ever-rolling stream soon bears us all away. We fly forgotten as a dream dies at the opening day. Well, it was about 16 hours after that service that 1,502 people from among the passengers and crew of that ship learned firsthand the meaning of those words as, you guessed it, the Titanic slowly sank beneath the waves of the North Atlantic. And perhaps the words of Psalm 90 and of that hymn ought to ring a little truer for us today, as I think I just checked it, around 242,000 people of this country alone have passed from this life into eternity. And 242,000 families have felt the sting of a loved one's death. See, maybe Moses' words are meant to be an arrow for our heart today. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So teach us, Lord. As if this year didn't already hold enough lessons for each of us, now, as we as a church turn our attention toward being faithful together, that's what we're calling our stewardship time together, towards a couple of weeks of stewardship so that our hearts might be soaked in some further things to process before 2020 bows its last. See, today I feel you, O Lord, steering us toward the stewardship of time and of talents, two elemental parts of stewardship. And Psalm 90 leads us in that contemplation so well. So, teach us, Lord. Teach us to take the time these days for reflection. Why? Because, Lord, you've been our dwelling place in all of our generations, verse 1. And that faithfulness makes us sing. Lord, you are the creator of man and of woman, of all things seen and of unseen, of quarks and of quasars. And you predate all of it, even the mountains, for you and you alone spoke the mountains and all things into being, verse 2. Lord, you are the God that exists from everlasting to everlasting, verse 2. There was never a time that you weren't. There was never an address you didn't know. There was never a person that it was a stranger to you. In fact, 1,000 years are like, well, they're like yesterday. They're like a watch in the night. God, you are omnipotent, all-powerful. You are omnipresent, present everywhere. You are omniscient, all-knowing, perfect, pure, holy, triune. God, in a plastic, fantastic age, you are eternal. People, we, however, are ephemeral. We turn back to dust at your word, God, verse 3. We perk up like grass fed by the morning dew, but fade and wither before the evening closes, verses 4 to 6. We have a lifespan of 70 or 80 years if we're strong, verses 9 to 10. And if pandemics don't or haven't yet reminded us of these unbreakable contrasts, Lord, make Psalm 90 do it again to us. And we thank you for such sections of Holy Scripture because not only do they beg us to take the time to reflect, they also drive us to take the time to repent. To repent. O Adonai, have we reminded you lately that we rather curdle at the thought of having to say that we're wrong? I mean, we don't really like to say that we've chosen the wrong way. And yet here you are again, showing up in our life with bristling prose, reminding us that we cannot hide our pimples, our blemishes, our bumps, our bruises, our bad choices, those buried and broad sins of our lives from you. Like a hand of poker, all of our cards have been turned over. Our days run past you, O Lord, under your watchful eye and your merited wrath, and we end it with but a tired sigh. I mean, God, how many days have I neglected to pray? How many days have I neglected my family? How many days have I forgotten my neighbors? How many days have I made what matters to me most and what matters to you least? Oh, and how many times, Lord, just here lately, have we as your people used alcohol or drugs or shopping or eating or do-gooding or whatever it is here lately to medicate our sense of loss or frustration or inadequacy rather than simply turning to you for compassion and care? How many times have we committed that same old sin of ours? You know the one I'm talking about, right? Time and time again. Oh Lord, relent. Have compassion. See, we see a light here in Psalm 90. And so with Moses, we pray that you might not send us away. Instead, would you seek and save, renew and restore, guard and guide, even though we often tell you that we want to govern, forget that. For you alone are God and we are not. Help us to steward our time differently, Lord. Teach us, O Lord, to number our days that we might gain a heart of wisdom. And when we do, would you teach us as well to take the time to reassess? Teach us, O Lord, that those in the midst of this crisis are those that are, and those that are called wise at the end of this pandemic or the end of this political season or the end of this problematic time, those that are called wise are not just those who bunkered down or bunkered in and rode it out. It won't be just those who have diversified their portfolios or stocked up on masks or toilet paper. But we here today ask you, O Lord, to help us to steward our talents, our spiritual gifts, our passions, our experiences that you have forged in us in ways that are pleasing to you. So again, as the former shepherd of Midian would say in verse 17, Lord, establish the work of our hands. Lord, help us to establish the work of our hands. Because life, it's but a vapor. The book of James puts this rather bluntly. And at the age of 3... I mean, I'm telling you, at the age of 3, we are blissfully ignorant of this fact. At age 10, we see growth and change, the change of our bodies that you have made, and we feel strong and yet still small. At age 18, we feel bulletproof. At 25, we see the change and we start to feel the weight of responsibility. At 35, our jobs take traction, and by 55, we start to see and feel a financial tipping point. At 65, we feel that a goal is achieved, and each day thereafter, well, we have this growing sense of our own vulnerability. And yet, Lord, if truth be told, we always feel vulnerable. Like C.S. Lewis would say of World War II, the war creates no absolutely new situation. It simply aggravates the permanent human situation that we can no longer ignore it. Human life has always been lived on the edge of a precipice. Life has always been lived on the edge of a precipice. For us, the distraction of the coronavirus is certainly a preview of what will someday happen in full to everything and to everyone that we hold dear. Nations, economies, health, sports, relationships, they all succumb to the pull of time. And so no doubt this is why Moses prays, Lord, establish the work of my hands. Lord, only you can turn this rubbish of mine into royal things. So take the dying seed and the stuff I have and the skills I possess and make them to bear fruit for eternity and for your glory. And Lord, this is probably why you nudge me and others like me to read 1 Corinthians 15:58 at graveside services for those that die. There Paul says some honest words. Be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Now yes, Lord, my work may be small, stained and brief in its fire and passion, but Lord, I just have to tell you, it's yours. By the work of the Spirit, it's yours. By the breath that you place in my lungs, it's yours. So teach me again and again, O Lord, that careers and bank accounts and reputations and families and seemingly curse-free existences built on anything else than you will dissolve away. So Lord, take my mud pies and any magnificent plans I have, and establish the work of my hands for your glory. And as you do, as commentator Scott Hubbard would say, teach us that we can be ordinary radicals and radical ordinaries. In other words, Lord, show us that we dare not wait until we reach some sort of normal. Again, to do your calling and do it with conviction. Show us, Lord, how many trivialities suck up our time. Make us to feel the urgency of the time that's before us and then to do the work that we have only dreamed of doing. Let's not wait. Make us glad, as verse 15 says, to deliver food to our neighbors or to show our co-workers care or to serve the sick and dying somehow. Life is too short and eternity is way too long to wait. Help us, O Lord, to be ordinary radicals today for Jesus Christ, our Savior. Still, you know, life is too short and eternity is way too long. Simply look past the moments that we are given in everyday life, those that we're blessed with by God's hands. Numbering our days, as verse 12 says, then, should not only lead ordinary people in Christ to count their blessings and use their talents in radical ways, but it should also help us to see ordinary times and ordinary things in the light of a new and radical importance. Therefore, Lord, help us to find new joy in sitting and listening to our kids tell us about their day. Wake us to the importance of cooking a meal with our family, to writing letters, what are those, right, to our friends, to keeping up with shut-ins, to savoring the beauty of God's creation even amidst the shivers of a season, to blessing our children with affirmation and affection. Yeah, these things get hoovered up in the chaos of pre- and someday post-COVID life, of the normal breakneck busyness. So God teach us that the smallest deeds done by us can actually outlast the skies. Let your work be shown to us as your children, verse 16. And make us ordinary radicals that no longer wait. Wait to step out for you and make us into radical ordinaries, those who steadfastly love and steward the blessings that you've given us. And you know, all that, Lord, wow, there's a lot packed into this. And this is a tall order, pandemic or no. So Lord, grant us the grace and the dignity of Jesus Christ to understand the work of his hands. God, give us fistfuls of mist, something far outside what a virus can affect. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You know, Lord, when I first got out of the seminary, I felt like I had all the time in the world. Maybe those who are here feel the same after their schooling. And I took further classes, and I took seminars, and I read books on how to make the most of my time and the gifts given therein. But now as I creep closer and closer toward the 20-year mark of doing this, I'm convinced more and more that the old hymn writer had it actually pretty well written down. Time, like an ever-rolling stream, soon bears us all away. We fly forgotten as a dream dies at the opening day. And yet, you know, it gives me hope that our times are in God's hands. So God, would you teach us to number our days? And of course, that has to start with today. This unrepeatable 24-hour period that's filled with new opportunities to live and labor for you, O Lord. And as we do, first establish the work of Jesus' hands in our hearts, that in the end, eternity might be both a present and future certainty, followed with cementing in us the ability to steward the precious sands of time and the talents that you alone give. Oh Lord, would you press Psalm 90 into our hearts so we might take the time to reflect, repent, and reassess by the grace of Christ and by it alone. In Jesus' name, amen.